As you know, that I, as a child of God, a brother, a member of the body, I am living under the authority, love, and direction of God Himself. And so whatever he arranges, whatever he places in me as a burden, I just want to make it clear to the whole enemy, to the enemy, and to the universe, we're here because God's desire, God's will, God's purpose is what we're living for. This is why we exist, why we were saved, why the Lord brought us into the Lord's recovery to participate. What a blessing in fulfilling the desire of God's heart. And now something very basic. But I've been learning more and more for decades. God the Father is the source of everything we do, wherever we go, even how we genuinely pray and speak. And so I thank God the Father for giving a clear leading regarding the general subject of this conference. And there you see it at the top, knowing and doing the will of God in the kingdom of God. Please focus on this, knowing the will of God, doing the will of God in the kingdom of God. And a basic point is in this verse, Matthew 6:10. The Lord was teaching us this: Your kingdom come, your will be done, as in heaven, so also on earth. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. The kingdom of God and the will of God are distinct in a certain way, but they're not separate. They go together. And right now, as we are having this meeting together, the Lord is seeding. He's praying. He's ministering. Because in a crucial place like Europe and all the other countries that are tuned in, He wants the will of God to be done on earth. Now, I want to make it clear to you, and I think this would help us all focus on what is the essence of this time together. In the recent months, the Lord touched me deeply with a verse from Acts chapter 6, verse 4. And that is, the apostles were speaking. They said, "We will continue steadfastly in prayer and in the ministry of the word." So I hope there's no misunderstanding. The genuine ministry is the ministry of the word. Now, just please listen till I finish the next couple of sentences, okay? I'm not ministering the word, the ministry of Watchman Nee or of Brother Witness Lee. I honor them. I respect them. I thank the Lord for them. I would not be here without their portion of the ministry. But I know that Brother Lee took a definite stand. Don't say, Brother Lee said this, Brother Lee said that. Say what God says. And so I'm still a learner. I'm happy to be that, no matter what my age is. So that here, what's on my heart is the ministry of the word. And then the next key point related to it is the ministry of the word is for your experience. I'm quite aware of the length of time I was in Christianity, in the seminary, studying theology, that people learn things, but they had nothing to do with actual experience. So we're coming now to knowing and doing the will of God. It's not just knowing, it's doing. And doing means every aspect of our living. And it's in the kingdom and for the kingdom. Now we'll walk through the outline in adequate time, but I'm still opening with another way. When it comes to this word, the will of God, I'd like to make something crystal clear. And all of us need to be enlightened. And my beloved brothers and sisters, even convicted at the present moment, that what is first, the will of God for God, or the will of God for me? Now we come to a crucial point. The will of God is first for God. We need to know what the will of God is for God. We know in Revelation chapter 4:11, we're told that he created all things because of his will. The universe exists. This planet exists. Your nation exists. You exist because God has a will. And we need to know and respect what the will of God is for God. And then we make a determination, somewhat like a brother and sister. The loving God is bringing them together. They will soon be married. The two will be one. But this is something to be applied. And this is what the Lord has in his being. And so we will focus on what the will of God is for God. And just like getting married to make a lifelong commitment, we make a decision that will govern our entire life to say, Lord, at least to some extent, the light is shining in me through the word. And I know that the will of God for God, is focused on Christ and the church. And so, Lord, I make this decision. I am living on the earth for your perfect eternal will. Then once we have taken this action, then we have the right to say, Father God, you know that I'm here by your mercy and grace and wisdom to know and do your will. But now I have the peace to ask you, what is your will for me? But if we begin with the second part, your will for me, do you know what this indicates? It indicates we are self-centered. Not Christ-centered, self-centered. And all of us are that by our fallen nature. And we're all being saved and redeemed from that. But there needs to be a time when we make it a decision that will govern the rest of our life. I am here for the will of God, for God to be done on the earth. And I was created and redeemed to participate in this. And Lord, I just give myself to you. And I just, in a very brief way, I'll tell you an experience that changed my whole life. Way back in 1964, in ancient times, right? I was just finishing my study in the seminary in Princeton, New Jersey. And at the beginning of that year, I still don't know what the source was other than God himself. I made a decision. I will not accept the permissive will of God. I will only accept the perfect, eternal will of God. Then for the next 2 years, the Lord began to close, regarding Christianity especially, every door one at a time. This is permissive. That's permissive. That's something I allow. That's what most do. So there was no peace, even with seemingly very beneficial opportunities, until the Lord's will was clear. Get married now. You're in the northeast of the United States and drive out to California, and there you will know, you will find my will. And the October of that year, I learned this when the Lord brought me into the church of God, there in that particular city. To be very direct and very simple, I don't know any other way to live than seeking and eventually responding to what the perfect will of God is. When 2 years ago, when I had the urgent heart surgery taking place, when I realized it, this is for the body, this involves the body, and the Lord wants me here for a little longer at least. Because the will of God for us personally is focused on the will of God concerning Christ and the church. Now, before we go through the outline, I just want to read some verses to you concerning the will of God. And four of them are about Christ living on the earth. This touches me again and again every time I pray, read it. But I begin with a verse directed to us by the Apostle Paul. Ephesians 5:17. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Understand what the will of the Lord is. And we'll see as we walk through the outline that will help us to some extent. That if we understand what the will of the Lord is, we will realize that the will of God, the will of the Lord, is that the all-inclusive Christ will be our life, our person, and everything, for the building up of the organic body of Christ, for the bride to make herself ready, because soon there's going to be a wedding. Now, when the Lord himself was on the earth as a God-man, but he was in space and time, living in many ways as an ordinary human being. He was a carpenter. He was in a poor part of the country. He had at least four brothers and sisters. So he is living for the first 30 years, seemingly as nobody. Then at 30, he went to be baptized. Then his ministry took place for 3.5 years. And these are some of the things he said concerning his own experience and living. And again say, in a tender way, my beloved brothers and sisters, the Christ who said these words that I'll read to you is dwelling in us right now. He realized this in a fresh way. We not only have something called life, as if it's only a thing, or we have received mercy or grace. We thank the Lord for all that. But what do we do with Ephesians chapter 3? Christ is making his home in our heart. Christ, the person who has the life-giving spirit, has been mingled with our regenerated human spirit. I just cry out to the Lord to shine this into all of us and to speak this directly to us. But I just want to give this brief testimony here. Christ is living in us right now. And he wants to expand from being in our spirit to make his home in our heart. I mention this so that we would have a fresh appreciation for how the Lord, living on the earth as an ordinary human being, apparently, was doing the will of God. John 4:34. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. So in that chapter, that's the chapter that he had this conversation openly with this woman at the well. And his apostles were sent away to get food. And when they came back, they saw him conversing with the woman. They were quite startled. And they had food. He said, I don't need any food. My food is to do the will of the one who sent me. This is Christ living right now. He is doing the will of God, the one who sent him. And what was he sent to do? To finish his work. Now, John chapter 5, verse 30. I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Okay, my own will. Again, this is not a training, I know, I'm clear, but it's a genuine person-to-person contact that we have a will, meaning a capacity to make decisions, and we have a desire that our will, that is what we want, will be done. And right now, at this very moment, 7 billion people on the earth are trying to seek their own will, to have what they want. Where are the believers that would say, Lord, I do not seek my own will. Seek. There are times we don't just say, Lord, what is your will in my situation? And you might expect that the light will shine right now. But it says here, seek. Seek. He did not seek his own will. He was seeking the will of him who sent him. And so again, on behalf of the Lord, what are you seeking? Even in being in this conference, in person or on Zoom in different places, what are you seeking? If the Lord, we allow him to enlighten us, then we will all be shepherded by him. He knows what we've been seeking, but now the light is shining, and we can honestly say, Lord, I'm seeking your will. Then John chapter 6, 38. I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Isn't this wonderful? Isn't the indwelling Christ wonderful? marvelous. And he wants to reproduce himself in us. He wants to make us the same as he is in every possible way. He came down. He was in the Godhead. And he still was divine when he was incarnated. But he came down from heaven. But not to do my own will. He didn't come on the earth and said, you know, he didn't tell anybody, I need to let you know where I came from. Yes, you realize I was in this little town and where I lived, but my source is heaven. And I didn't come down to do what I wanted to do. I came down for his will to be done. The will for which he sent me. And so just a simple illustration. The Lord sent me, just as he sent you, to be with you right now. I'm sitting in this chair, giving you this message, because God sent me here to do it. And then this next verse is deeply touching, from Matthew 26:39. He was in the garden praying just before he was arrested. And he had three of the brothers. He said, please sit there and pray while I'm doing this. And then he said, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet, not as I will, but as you will. Just how genuine this is. There can be some kind of false spirituality. People say, oh, the Lord sent me to suffer this. Lord, I'm here to do it. I remember being in a meeting where a dear brother suffered physically in a very painful way. And we got through. He got very good medical care. Then he was giving testimony. He said, Lord, do it more. Well, eventually he learned this is not the way we should pray. We just say, Lord, that was your will. And I'm just here to continue doing your will, whatever it is. And so the Lord said, is it possible to let this cup pass from me? The cup was the cup of death. Is it possible? But then he said, yet not as I will, but as you will. I don't know, and I don't need to know what you're thinking right now, what your inner feeling is now. But I'm freshly touched from these verses. Your will, not my will. There were a few times once I entered into the 80s, it was kind of in another stage for elderly human beings. And there were just moments, not lengthy ones, where co-workers I know quite well, they were a few years younger than me, and they all passed away, finishing their course. Now they are with the Lord in paradise. For sure, they will reign with Christ for 1,000 years. But then the Lord made it clear, Ron, you're still in the race. You have to finish the journey that I have ordained for you. This is part of God's will. So now we come to the outline itself, and it's based upon a crucial chapter in a book that's focused on the all-inclusive Christ, that's Colossians. And it is a unique book in the New Testament. It is the most, it has the most of the all-inclusive Christ expressed and revealed in these four chapters. And so now we come to, the subject is so simple, the will of God. But I'm letting you know ahead of time, the will of God in this context is not the will of God for each one of us personally. It's the will of God concerning what's on his heart. We'll see when we'll read the verse in a moment. He created all things because of his will. And we will see now that the will of God is Christ and the church. His will is that the all-inclusive Christ would become our life, our person, and more everything. I remember one particular sister, not young, not really old, but was in her 60s, been here for 40 years with her husband. And I think she was trying to be quite honest. She just said, Christ is everything to me. Well, I didn't criticize. I didn't say anything. But I was quite aware of how she spoke and what she did, especially her talking. That Christ is far from being everything to you. He's becoming that. But for us to think he's everything, then he would be the source of what you're saying now. And so the will of God is Christ. The will of God is the church as the corporate expression of the all-inclusive Christ. Now we can walk through the outline. Point one. A quotation of this very important verse, Revelation 4:11. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive the glory and the honor and the power. For you have created all things, and because of your will, they were and were created. This is one of the most important verses in the New Testament. Then points A and B, God is a God of purpose, having a will of his own pleasure. So now we see here, will, purpose, pleasure. Pleasure is the desire of God's heart. And so Eventually, this will be quite helpful to us in our spiritual pursuit, that God is a God of purpose. He has a will of his own pleasure, that every kind of life, talking about even little animals like a kitty cat or a dog. I don't know about horses. You may know a little. But every living thing needs enjoyment. And they're looking for things that make them happy. And human beings are like this. What do you think will be happening in the city where you are now, Saturday night? What will thousands of people be doing on Saturday night to have some pleasure? Then they wake up in what they call Sunday morning, and the pleasure is gone. But from God's point of view, he's a God of purpose. I love this expression. I thank Brother Lee for using it based upon the word, the God of pleasure, having a will of his own pleasure. And based upon this, I would just point out, knowing and doing the will of God brings joy unspeakable with pleasure. It's not just something he requires that's so painful. There's pleasure. When God's pleasure becomes our pleasure, we're happier than we've ever been before, deep within. But that kind of joy may be simultaneously with other feelings going on physically, with our health and with our soul. With suffering, someone very close to you passed away. How can we not weep? How can we not feeling such a great loss? But still deeper is the pleasure of God. B, he created all things for his will so that he might accomplish and fulfill his purpose. And so, from God's point of view, will, purpose, and pleasure, they all go together. They're distinct, but they're together. The will, the purpose, the pleasure. And what comes next involving us? Economy, will, purpose, pleasure, economy. For some of you, that word may be not familiar from a spiritual point of view, that we just go step by step in this way. The will, the purpose, the pleasure, the economy. God's economy is his plan and arrangement to fulfill his purpose, for his will. And so each one of us is under the authority of God, and his economy is arranged for us personally. Many of us, we can look back and the Lord would enlighten us. Now, why I allowed this happen 40 years ago, why you went through this, and you realize, Lord, at the time, I didn't understand anything. But now I have to just thank you and praise you and worship you. What a wise God you are. And that surely was your will applied and worked out. Okay, so now we come to a verse in Ephesians. God's will is God's wish. God's will is what he wants to do. Quite simple. But God wants to do. Have you ever, in the morning, especially as soon as your mind is quite active, to say, Lord, what do you want to do today? What do you want to accomplish today? What do you want me to experience today? Very touching. B. No, you got to do A. God's good pleasure is of his will and is embodied in his will. So his will comes first. Okay, let me repeat this. God's good pleasure is of his will. So the will is the source. The pleasure is out from his will. To us through his revelation in Christ, that is through Christ's incarnation, crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension. So I hope that many of you are reading through the New Testament all the way through, year after year. You just read one chapter a day, you have, that's all you need. And when we go through, then we realize more and more Christ's incarnation, Christ's crucifixion, Christ's resurrection, and Christ's ascension. And throughout the earth in the Lord's recovery, there are thousands and thousands of saints experiencing one of these four at any given time. See, God works all things according to the counsel of his will. But let me pause here. The counsel of his will. Well, there's another word that sounds like it in English, counsel. The triune God had a counsel. Then the triune God, after they had a counsel, they act according to the counsel. Well, the three of them were having fellowship, even though there's one God, they're triune. And then they knew that the will of God, sorry. We need to know the counsel of his will. And so part of the counsel was, this is before the universe existed, nothing existed, only God. And we know from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, before God created anything, he chose us to be sons. We were predestinated to be sons of God. And we were chosen by God before anything existed. And then also, get ready for this, because God is really God, who is omnipotent, who is beyond our capacity. He had a plan for each one of us. That was the council. He knew way back then where you would be born. And what kind of situation will you be living in? And when, at what time will you be saved and regenerated? His plan was that you would leave religious Christianity to be in the genuine church life, even where many of you are now. It's not a huge congregation. So the Lord has a counsel, a plan, an arrangement for each one of us. And I'm not going to refer to my own personal history, but all of us, we can look back and realize that was part of the counsel. Your way, your plan is always the best. So I continue with this point. So to have the full knowledge of God's will is to have the revelation of God's plan so that we may know what God plans to do in the universe. Well, that's a big one. What he's going to do in the universe. A few times I tried to, a little bit in some book about how vast is the universe. And what? Look. Can you look? Oh, no. Never mind. Something came up. I just wonder, how big is the universe? And I read something about, well, if light is at the speed of light, then something would start from that part of the universe. And then maybe after 1,000 light years, they would reach here. Wow. And so when it comes down to it, I just say, Lord, I think I'll leave the universe to you. And maybe one day you'll help us understand more why it was so vast. And people have all kinds of opinions. Well, there's so many other places in the universe. There are all kinds of beings. Anyway, to me, it means nothing. We're just here on the earth for God's will to be carried out. Okay, point three. Colossians is a book concerning the great eternal will of God. If you have the time and you have the inner leading, maybe within the next week, you could just read through Colossians again with this directing point. It's a book concerning the great eternal will of God. So let's see what it is. Okay. Colossians reveals what God's will is according to his desire and intention in the whole universe, in creation, in redemption, in the coming age, and in eternity. So Paul was in prison when he wrote this, and he got this marvelous revelation. But then he goes, to be more specific, in point B, God's will in Colossians 1:9 is his will regarding the eternal purpose, regarding his economy concerning Christ. So Paul had not gone to Colossae. He received the testimony of a co-worker who was from that city and brought so many people to salvation. And then his response was, in verse 9, he said, "From the time I heard you, I haven't stopped praying for you concerning the will of God." And then he made it clear, the will of God is that the Christ who's your Redeemer will be your life and your everything. Just what was taking place in this dear brother. He didn't know anyone. He wasn't there. It wasn't his work. But he realized this is the Lord's will being carried out in another part of the earth. And I know what's on the Lord's heart, that his will would make made known concerning the all-inclusive Christ. So I'm going to pray nonstop. Now, how could anyone pray nonstop? It's just Christ dwelling in us is interceding. And we just are an open vessel. Let him express his deep praying for these dear saints. And I believe right at this very moment, the Lord really wants and needs and is waiting for saints all over the earth. If they learn anything about the gospel reaching a certain place or the need for it to reach that place. We've never been there. We don't know anything about it. But we realize this is the Lord's desire. This is his will. Lord, in this country, save hundreds, thousands of people. I sincerely believe that in challenging areas like the Nordic countries and the Baltic countries to some extent, are there not more human beings chosen by God to be saved? Does the Lord not want to save and regenerate a number of them this year? How he's waiting for that kind of prayer. And I've been participating with the help of other saints, my wife and some other saints. Lord, open the way here. Save many more. And so, this gives us, here's a realization that the eternal purpose regarding his economy concerning Christ. And so he wants us not just to have a general thought, I'm coming to know the will of God. He wants to know Christ and the church. But then you want to have this experienced in real and practical. C, to have the full knowledge of God's will is to have the revelation of God's plan so that we may know what God plans to do in the universe. Okay. I'm repeating that for emphasis. Okay, four, the will of God is concentrated in Christ and is for Christ. Christ is everything in the will of God. And so on behalf of God, I'm just a little bit bold here. God's will concerning you today is to experience and enjoy Christ. Today. Almost right now. This is not just theory. This is what he's praying for. This is his will. And that's what Paul was praying for. And if you read chapter 4, verse 12, the dear brother who brought the gospel to those people, he was struggling in prayer that they would all stand confirmed in faith concerning the will of God. But he knew there's a battle going behind the scene. And he was just praying, fighting prayers that these dear saints will firmly stand in knowing and doing the will of God. B. Christ is the preeminent one, the one who has the first place in everything. Okay, the first place in everything. Well, I once had a conference, just six messages on this, but we need to know. God wants Christ to have the first place in everything. See, the all-inclusive, extensive Christ is the centrality and the universality, the center and circumference of God's economy. In God's economy, Christ is everything. Wow. Christ is everything. God wants Christ, and Christ alone, the wonderful, preeminent, all-inclusive Christ, who is all and in all. Two, God's intention in his economy is to work the wonderful, all-inclusive, extensive Christ into our being as our life and our everything, that we may become the corporate expression of the triune God. This one sentence is worth the entire little conference we're having. I know I'm aware of the time. I won't go beyond the hour and a half, but I want to read this again. God's intention in his economy is to work the wonderful, all-inclusive, extensive Christ into your being, into my being, into our being. When? Day by day. 48 hours from now, there should be more of the all-inclusive Christ wrought into us, a little more. Into our being as our life and our everything, that we may become the corporate expression of the triune God. The goal is the corporate expression of God, the body of Christ. Another conference is coming up at the end of August, if the Lord continues to will, on the need for body consciousness. That we realize we're not just believers, we're not just children of God, we're members of the body. And the body is first. The local churches are second. And we were created and redeemed and born of God for the building up of the body corporately. D, the will of God is that the all-inclusive, extensive Christ would be our portion. E, God's will is that we know Christ, experience Christ, enjoy Christ, be saturated with Christ, and have Christ as our person and our life. So again, this one sentence could be an entire conference. Message one, God's will is that we know Christ. Amen. God's will is that we experience Christ. Amen. God's will is that we enjoy Christ. Amen. It is God's will to be saturated with Christ and have Christ as our person and our life. Whoa, not just our life, but our person. Then what about the natural person? The Lord may say, Ron, pray, read again Galatians 2:20. When I was crucified, you were crucified with me, that you would no longer live in yourself, but I'm living in you. What a colossal point this is. In section 5, God's will is to have the church as the body of Christ. This is on the Lord's heart. More and more, every hour, I'm awake. In various degrees, there's this sense deep within. God's will is to have the church as the body of Christ. He needs to have hundreds, even a few thousand local churches. The local churches are not the goal. When the Lord raptures the living overcomers, he will rapture believers throughout the earth, and they will be a corporate person, the bride of the redeeming God. The Lord, right now, I know he needs more and more saints to be body conscious, that the will of God is not just we experience and enjoy Christ, but his will involves the church as the body of Christ, not just to have churches. I remember way back in around 1968, we were all really young, spiritually speaking. It might still be in some hymnals. We would sing this song, "We stand right here till Jesus come, standing on the local ground. We're here, da, da, da." We didn't know anything about the body. We were just happy that we were in a church. And where we were, and surely God our Father was smiling, but had a lot preparing for us ahead. We thought we have arrived. We're in a church. And we are in the church life. And we're having 5 or 6 meetings a week, and a prayer meeting, and a lot of serving time on Saturday morning. We'll just stand right here till Jesus comes. The Lord would say, yes, stand right there with body consciousness. Be where you are for the universal corporate body of Christ. That's what's on my heart. And my son will come and rapture the living, overcoming saints when the bride has made herself ready. The will of God is to obtain a body for Christ to be his fullness, his expression. To live the body life is to prove what the will of God is. If you look at those verses in Romans 12, our mind is renewed, we're being transformed, and now we know what the will of God is the body. 2, if we are proper members of the body, acting and functioning in the church life, we will be persons in the will of God. I appreciate this. We will be persons in the will of God. It's not only we are persons doing the will of God, obeying the will of God, but here it says we are persons in the will of God. What a marvelous statement. We are persons in the will of God. May there be prayer, especially in little vital prayer groups of two and three or four saints. Lord, we pray that throughout the earth there will be persons in the will of God in all the churches. They are in the will of God. Their being is in the will of God. Okay. C. No, me, no, B. The church is the body of Christ, which is an entity constituted with the triune God and is chosen and redeemed once. Now, see, Christ is the head of the body, and we are the members of the body. And so, again, another direct question, but in a tender way. Do you realize that you are a member of the body? If I were to ask you, are you a believer in Christ? You would say, yes, I definitely, and not only believe, I am a believer. Amen. And if I would say, are you a child of God? You would say, yes, I've been regenerated. I have the divine life dispensed into me. Amen. So you're clear about your person. But the third point, do we realize we are members of the body? This is a much deeper realization. I'm not just a believer. I'm not just a child of God. I'm a member of the body. I can't live without the body. I'm living for the body, in the body, with the body. I just mentioned again, the moment I heard that I need quadruple open heart surgery, there's not only peace, there's a realization. This is a body matter. I'm a member of the body, and I can get through this only in and through and with the body. Okay, C in the subpoints. Well, we did C, 1, 2, and then D. To live in the body is to live corporately with the members under the head. And so living corporately, what does that mean? It means that we have our personal relationship with the Lord, but we also realize we're not living alone. We are living with a number of brothers and sisters. We are in the same locality. We are going on together corporately. Two, to live the body life, we must be under the head and take the head as our life, the principal object and the center of our whole being. Okay, I repeat. To live the body life. You have to read. We must be under the head. So we're all directly under the authority of God, every one of us. Now, My left hand is here. The fingers are moving. My right hand is just holding the paper, not doing much, because the body directly commanded this hand to say hi. We are all directly under the headship of Christ. And so, this is the practical, the principal object, and the center of our whole being. This point gradually will saturate every one of us. And some of you, I just have the inner sense, it's time for you to pray over this one point, item by item, because this is where the Lord has you right now. And now the last point, D. The body grows with the growth of God. Sorry. The growth of the body depends on the growth of God, the addition of God, the measure of God. Okay, God, as God, cannot grow. He's already infinite. But God in us must increase. This is God growing in us. And so at this very moment, more and more, this will become real to us. God is dwelling in me. And God is growing in me, in the body, with the body, for the body, and by the body. Dear brothers and sisters, this is the will of God. Amen.